Good morning. It's good to be able to see everyone this morning, those who regularly attend here and worship here, the Warfield family. I'm encouraged by your presence, and if you're visiting with us this morning, we're thankful for your presence as well. Phil mentioned about someone who may speak on the fifth Sunday of the month when we have our singing, and I just wanted to mention if any of the men who have not done that, young or old, if I can help you to put a short talk together, I'd be glad to do that. Always good to see us grow and improve and add to our service in the Lord. And if that's something that you haven't done and I can help you to do, please see me about that. Phil mentioned twice that it needed to be a short talk, so that puts me out of the running. So if you would like to do a short talk, I'd be glad to try to help you to do that. Appreciate all of our men serving today. In our scripture reading of Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, the text says that those new Christians were daily in the temple. That's where they were worshiping. There were some social activities that they were doing at home with regard to food. But with regard to worship, that was being done in the temple. And the text says that they were doing that on a daily basis. They were regular in that. We all have childhood memories. We all have fond memories of our childhood in and out of the church. And with regard to me, I remember growing up going to church services all of my life. And some of the fondest memories that I have are those brethren who always attended every service. No matter where we were, there were always brethren who were there every time the doors were open. They sometimes were there early, opening up the building. They were always there ready for their class, or they were always there ready to serve in some kind of way. I remember growing up, brethren who were always present in the Bible classes, and they were always present at each worship service. They attended each night of a gospel meeting. And it was not just something out of a habit. I think it's good to instill in our children good habits with regard to attendance, but it wasn't just merely a habit. It wasn't a ritual or a routine with them. They had good, solid reasons for doing that. And as I've gotten older, I've looked back on those days and I've asked myself, why was it that there were always some Christians who attended all of the services? And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Why is it there are some brethren who always attend every service? Every once in a while, they might miss out of no fault for their own. They might have some illness. They might get in some traffic accident. Maybe inclement weather keeps them away. I remember one time when I was probably kindergarten, first grade age up in Ohio, mid-Ohio, north of Columbus, in the dead of winter. My grandparents called and said, we can't make it to services this morning on a Sunday morning. There's 2 feet of snow on the ground. We can't get out. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, it's kind of hard to navigate 2 feet of snow. But they're always there. Why is that? And do I want to be a Christian like that? Do you want to be a Christian like that? Do you want to be the Christian who these young people hear this morning later in life? You know, I remember Brother so-and-so. He was always there. I remember Sister so-and-so. She was always there. I want to talk this morning a little bit, as I have your attention and as we have an opportunity to study from God's Word, why some Christians attend all the services. And I believe that there are brethren here that do that. There are brethren here that attend all of the services. Am I that brother or sister? Are you that brother or sister? When I think about these individuals and I hear them talk and I hear them explain why they're at all the services, you'll see real quickly where their mind and their heart is. They'll say something, for example, that they do that because they want to obey God. They just simply want to obey the command to assemble. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, a very familiar passage to us. We're in a society that is downplaying the commands of God in various areas of our life. Commands involving marriage, commands involving personal characteristics in our lives. We're getting away from the Bible and God's Word and commands. Assembling, plural, more than one. He doesn't say assembly, singular, but assembling. The habit, the practice of multiple times coming together. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together. That's a command. That's a negative command. Don't do this. And there are some brethren who attend all of the services because they don't want to violate that command. Commands are very serious to them. They know that they live in a world where commands are not serious to many people, but it's serious to them. And they were raised to do what God says to do. And they take that very seriously. And they want to obey God. And then, look at what the text says, to consider one another, to provoke, my version says, your version might say, stir up unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another so much as you see the day drawing nigh. They want to not violate a command, and they want to stir others up. Now, when they come, they might have an opportunity to talk about the sports or weather or the stock market or what's going on at work. But at some point, they also want to stir up their brethren to love and good works. They want to talk about the work of the church while they're in the building. They want to talk about evangelizing someone or inviting someone or something involving Bible study. They want to talk with their brethren and encourage them to be more faithful in some kind of way. So they don't want to violate the command to forsake the assembling, and they don't want to miss an opportunity to stir up their brethren and make them more faithful. Look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. And he's just talked about forsaking the assembly. These brethren don't want to sin willfully. We all know that from time to time things come up that are out of our control, such as the weather or such as an illness. But I don't want to willfully get up at some point in the day and say, I just don't want to go. Because of verse 26, they understand that that's a serious business and they're going to have to face a certain fearful expectation of judgment, verse 27. And they just don't want to face that. And there are some brethren who just love to obey God. They're not asking, show me in the Bible where I have to attend on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You're not going to find that verse. They don't ever say, show me in the Bible where I have to attend every night of a gospel meeting. That's not really their thinking. That's not how they approach the service. They approach the service with, I just want to obey God. And these are opportunities for me to obey God. And so I want to do that. I remember growing up that there were always brethren who attended every service. And the reason they did that was, in addition to obeying God, they also wanted to show their love for God. They understand, for example, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And this is the way to do that. This is the way that I can love God with all of my heart. And when I'm there, I'm loving God. And other things in life are secondary. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. We've got the Christmas season coming up, and a lot of people in the denominational world they celebrate the coming of Christ by trying to celebrate His birth. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. If you want to celebrate the coming of Christ, here's how you do it. We need to celebrate the coming of Christ. Paul said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." Anybody who loves Jesus appearing, talking about his first appearing, when he came to live and die on the cross, and when I love that, and I love his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection, and I love that and I follow him and I obey him, that's how I honor his coming. And being here shows that I love the Lord's appearing. They love the privilege of worship. They were always present because they loved to sing and they loved to pray and they loved to study God's Word. Turn with me to Psalm 122. They loved to be here and they loved to want to come back. It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't a bore. It wasn't a chore. Like the psalmist of Psalm 122 and verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Jehovah." It was something that made them happy. They looked forward to the next opportunity to come. And because their love was so great for God and Christ, they could not be kept away. And they wanted to be present. If the Lord were to appear a second time, that would be the best place to be. I was telling somebody just the other day that my grandfather died on a Sunday morning. When he had gone out to get in the car to bring it up so that we could go to services together. That's where he died. He went out to the garage, got in the car, and he just slumped over the wheel with a heart attack. And I'm thinking, that's how I want to go. I want to go if I'm on the way to services. That's how I want to go. Or if I'm at services. And if the Lord comes again, this is where I would love to be. And there are some brethren with that attitude. That there's nothing more important in life than worshiping the Lord. And they want to be present. If the Lord were to appear the second time, that would be the best place to be in the assembly. There's going to come a day when Jesus does come again in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. And the parable there of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, and the 5 wise are prepared and ready to go, and the 5 foolish are not. And so they're not ready when the Lord comes again. And Jesus said in Matthew 25:13 to watch and be ready and be prepared. This would be the best place to be if Jesus were to come again. So there were always brethren who attended every service because they wanted to show their love for God in Christ. And they did that because it was a way of putting the kingdom first. The kingdom is God's rule and reign over the hearts of men, and from the day of Pentecost onward, that's the church. And as we, the church, people, not a building, but as we, the church, the people, do what we're supposed to be doing for Christ, that's putting the kingdom first. The church and the kingdom are the same group of people. Kingdom emphasizing God's rule and reign in our hearts, and church emphasizing being called out of the world. So to put the kingdom first by today's standard would be to put the church first, to put what comes first involving our responsibilities in the church. Look at Colossians 1:18. There are always brethren who want to put Christ first in their life. Not second, not third, but first. What comes first in your life? What comes first in my life? And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That means first place. Now, Christ doesn't have first place with people in the world, but He should have first place with us. There have always been brethren who have assembled every time because it's their way of putting the kingdom first and putting Christ first. And turn over in the same book to chapter 3 and verse 1. They always have their minds set on things that are above. Oh, when you talk with them, they might know some things about sports and their favorite meal and They might talk about some things that are going on in a particular election that's coming up. They know about some things of this life, but you can tell by their conversation that their mind is set on things that are above. They might be able to name some sports figures, and they might be able to name some music stars and some of the programs that are on TV. They're acquainted with those types of things, but you can tell by their conversation that their mind is set on things that are above. And with that attitude, it has always brought them every time to every service. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. We just had our offering, our giving. These brethren, look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. They don't view Christianity as something that you drop in a plate, like you pay your dues, dropped it in, that pretty much completes it for the week. But look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. There's always brethren where what you actually put in the plate, that's actually secondary to something more basic. And that is, I've given myself to the Lord first. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, Paul is commending these Macedonian brethren. And this not that we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord. And to us through the will of God. Yes, they gave their contribution, but that was only after they had given them their whole selves to the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if we could pass the plate again? And when the plate comes to you, just step inside of it. Could you do that? Let's just give ourselves to the Lord. We can get a little bit bigger plates. And just step inside of it. There are always brethren who love the Lord, put the kingdom first, put Christ first, give themselves to the Lord. And the service is just simply an extension of that. They don't put other things first, things of their life. It's always Christ. It's always the Lord. I've known of brethren who attend all of the services. And the reason they do that is they know that that is where they can grow to maturity. We're not going to be able to grow. They know that they're not going to be able to grow spiritually to maturity at school, at work, other places. There are other environments that we're in throughout the day and throughout the week that have other purposes to it. But with regard to growing spiritually, they know that this is the only place they can get that. They realize that they're not complete in Christ. They haven't arrived where you get on this plateau, and once you get up there, you've got all you need in life. They always know that there is more that they need to mature and grow in. And like the writer of Hebrews chapter 6, let us press on to maturity, one version says, and that's a good word. They know that there's always more Bible knowledge that they can have. There's always more application of God's Word. There's always better attitudes that they can have. Better dispositions. Something better for their children. And they know that this is the place where they can get that. They also know, verses 4 through 6 of the same chapter, that if they don't move forward, eventually they start moving backward. And so in verses 4 through 6, there were brethren who were going backward and falling away. We never just stay the same spiritually in life. We're either moving forward or we're going backward. Slowly. And there are always brethren who have been understanding of that and have realized that we need to be moving forward and maturing and growing. And this is where that's done. The school environment is good for a secular education. The work environment is good for the taking care of the needs of our family, food, shelter, and clothing. There are different environments in life that are good for us in different kinds of ways, but our relationship with God, this is where that is taken care of. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, they're always hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And they know that this is where that hunger can be fed and that thirsting can be quenched. I always want to learn more. I always want to grow more. They want to be built up. The weak tears them down. Things at work, things at school, other situations are negative. We live in a world that tears us down and pulls us down spiritually. And they know that this is the place where they can be built back up. The singing, for example, turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And Colossians 3:16, singing builds us up. Colossians 3 and verse 16, what does singing do? That Christ may dwell in your hearts, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. Teaching and admonishing one another in songs. That's not even to mention being built up with prayer and the Lord's Supper and other things that we do. They want to receive something in the worship service that will help them to resist the devil as soon as they step outside the building, and it's that immediate. As soon as you step outside the building and get in your car, you could potentially right there, if you turn on the radio, get the devil. But you're going to get the devil pretty quick when you step outside this building. And they know that this is the place that's going to help them and their children resist that. They realize how easy it is to decline when they are away from the service, to go back the other direction, to become weak, to become worldly. And maybe there are those among us whom we've been missing for maybe weeks now and maybe more than a month. Are they stronger or are they weaker? Look around. Are we missing anyone? Are those folks stronger spiritually or weaker? And so there are always brethren who realize that when I am not here, I'm weaker. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't want that to happen, so they're always here. And there are always brethren who attend every service because they realize that that's where they help the functioning of the local congregation. The local congregation does not function without me being here. And they understand that. The local congregation is not just something that's out there on its own and it just sort of exists on its own and I'm separate from it. I am it. And when I'm not there, it doesn't function as well as it could function. It's a body. And there are things that happen when the local body assembles together. They realize that the local church is the only organization that the Lord has given. And it cannot function without them assembling together. And so they're always there. It's in the assembly that a collection is to be taken up. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Otherwise, couldn't I just put some money aside at home? Maybe just put it over on the dresser in a jar. Couldn't you just maybe put some money off to the side and then sometime go give it to the elders, for example? No, it's done in the assembly. And the Lord's Supper is done in the assembly. Could you buy some grape juice and some unleavened bread and just do that at home? Could you do that? Sure, you could. But it wouldn't be the assembly. Those things are done in the assembly. And there are even other activities. 1 Corinthians 5, church discipline was when you're gathered together in the assembly. And the Lord's Supper, chapter 11, is in the assembly. Teaching and admonishing and learning, chapter 14, is in the assembly. Chapter 16, the collection, is in the assembly, 1 Corinthians. And they understand that for the local church to function, it's a body. As a member, I have to be there. They want to be a part of all of the collective activities of the assembled saints. That's why they come to all the services. And in the place where they are, if there are elders, they want to obey them that have the rule over them. Our elders want us to be here. Our elders want us to come for class. Our elders want us to assemble. When the elders plan a gospel meeting, they want us to be here. I think we're in a society where maybe even in the Lord's church we are downplaying and maybe dismissing the example and the authority of elders. Today it's almost like take it or leave it. And I hope that we would never have that attitude here. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. That goes back to verse 7, imitate their faith. It's the elders. The elders want to feed us. That is their role as shepherds. Acts 20 and verse 28, they feed the flock. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, and they provide occasions to feed. They may feed us personally themselves. They may set up occasions and situations and arrangements where others feed us, but they want us fed and we need to be here to be fed. We need to take seriously the leadership of our elders. And I believe that there's always been brethren who have taken that seriously. And that's one reason why they're always present at the service. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Very familiar passage in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. There are some Christians who attend all of the services because they know the power of example. And they know, especially with regard to their children, all it takes is one little slip up, one little matter where we're not setting the right example, and our children are going to see that. And so in order to set the right example, we want our children to go to heaven. We want our spouse to go to heaven. We want those around us to go to heaven. We're always going to set that right example. And I believe that there are brethren who are constantly mindful of their example. Even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They're not doing it to draw attention to themselves. They want to glorify God, but they know that people are watching. They follow the example of assembling that is found in the New Testament. They know about Acts 2:46, the passage that we read earlier, where brethren were daily in the temple worshiping God. We know about, and they know about, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, where the disciples were gathered together in the church there in Antioch. The disciples were gathered together to hear Paul's report in Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Turn with me to Acts 20 and verse 7. They know about how that Paul was at Troas. Sometime, if you're thinking about it, and I hope we are thinking about the seriousness of assembling on the first day of the week, think about why in Acts chapter 20 and verse 6, we read verse 7 a lot, why is it in verse 6 that they came to Troas in 5 days, where we tarried 7 days, and upon the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread? Why tarry 7 days if it's not important? They tarried 7 days because they wanted to be with the brethren on the first day of the week. They were planning ahead a whole week. That's how important it was to Paul. Is it that important to us? They know that people are watching and they want to set the right example of genuine Christianity. They don't want to be a pretender. They don't want to be a fake and a fraud. They know their children are watching them, and they know that a lot of times the next generation takes it a little bit farther than we took it. Have you ever read, for example, in the book of Kings where it says, for example, that so-and-so was an evil king and he did this and he did that? And then the text goes on to say, and his son, so-and-so, what? He did all of that and more. You ever read that in the book of Kings? Yeah, we read that. What is that? That's the kids taking it farther than the parents. And sometimes that's not in a very good way. And so what we have then is we're setting the wrong example, and we're okay with it. We're good with it. But our children see that and they take it and run with it and they add more to it. So, for example, with regard to attendance, I may be good with, for example, missing, let's say, just as an illustration, 5 or 6 times a month, let's just say. I'm good with that. I'm in control. I'm not going to let it get out of hand. I'm not going to let it get even more than 5 or 6 times. I'm comfortable with that. I'm good with that. I always make sure that I've got that. But wait a minute. My kids are seeing that. And now it's not 5 or 6 times with the kids. It's 10 or 15 times with them or more. You see? And so what we have then is, brethren, some have always attended because they know that that example is being set for their family. They attend for the Lord, not for a particular location. I've known of individuals who were lost and they continued to see their husband or wife attend week in and week out, and finally they came and they were converted to the gospel. Have you ever known of anybody like that? They wouldn't darken the door at all, but their spouse just kept coming every time. And finally they would come in and eventually they were converted. It's that positive example. They're mindful of their children. They're mindful of other family members. They're mindful of their neighbors. They're mindful of new members or visitors. And they know that actions speak louder than words. And so they're always present because they know that that's important. I've known of brethren who have attended every service because they just don't want to be ungrateful for what the Lord has done for them. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. As you're turning over to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, let me ask you this. What if your husband died and nobody showed up at the funeral? How would you feel about that? What if your wife died and nobody showed up at the funeral? How would you feel about that? I mean, nobody. You and the funeral director, that's it. What if your child died and nobody showed up? That's basically what's going on in effect when we're not present here for the funeral service of Jesus. Isn't the Lord's Supper a memorial service to the death of Jesus? There are brethren who don't want to show indifference and ingratitude. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, one of the things that causes grievous times, Paul says, is unthankful. What if your spouse had done something great in the community for a lot of people here in Clarksville and none of them showed up? You'd be thinking, a bunch of ingrates and unthankful people. There are brethren who are so thankful to the Lord for sending His Son to die on the cross, and they realize that they cannot be saved without that, that they want to be at every memorial service of the Lord's Supper. They don't want to show ingratitude and unthankfulness by their absence. They realize that absenteeism is really a sign of disrespect. How would you feel, how would I feel, if no one showed up for our funeral? And so I want to show up every first day of the week because there's a memorial going on for the death of Jesus and I want to be there. And then last of all, I've known of some brethren through the years and have fond memories of, and I believe there are brethren here, and we can be like this. They're at every service because they know that that is just simply preparing them for heaven. Where every day, if you can even use the word day because it's eternity, there is no time, but so that we can get our minds around it, every day we're singing praise to God. What have we been learning in the book of Revelation as we've been going through that book? In addition to all the things about Christians being persecuted and all that, what have we been learning in the book of Revelation? Every chapter or so, who is up in heaven praising God?
Yep.
Heavenly beings around the throne praising God, including faithful saints, chapter 7 and chapter 15. They want to praise God in the assembly now and here because they want to be doing the same thing in the life to come. And they know that it's going to be no different. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. The ones who are in heaven praising God at every opportunity are the ones who are on earth praising God at every opportunity. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, these are they that come out of the great tribulation, faithful Christians, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them into fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. What are they doing up there? They're not up there on a sandy beach. How many funerals have you attended where the person giving the message has the person who was in the casket, has them up in heaven doing what they were doing on earth? How many funerals have you attended? Well, he's up there fishing now. I heard that one time. Well, the list would be endless. If they like to ride horses, well, he's up there riding horses. No, we're worshiping God around the throne. And it's for all eternity. And so there are brethren who realize that's what I'm going to be doing for all eternity. I'm preparing myself now to do that very thing. Because I want to be around that heavenly host. As we close this morning, I want you to think about our attendance. You know, these faithful brethren through the years never did it because of some gimmick that got them there. Sometimes you'll read in the Tennessean or some other newspaper where some church is using some gimmick to get more people there. You know, a candy bar hidden under the seat, or I saw one time where somebody was putting a dollar bill or a $5 bill here or there throughout the church building to get people to come. And some will have a circus, some will have some other form of entertainment. And if we think that that is something just simply going on in the denominational world, I heard just this past week a dear sister in the church contacted me and said that a congregation probably less than 30 miles from here, the preacher suggested that they start showing movies at the building and have popcorn to get some people to come. This was in what we would call a non-institutional Church of Christ. It never got off the ground, and I'm glad it didn't. That's not the work of the church. But just stop and think about it for a minute, brethren. If you came simply because of a gimmick or a fun or entertainment, just stop and think of it. I'm here because I got bribed? Is that how you want to be in life? Is that how I want to be? Of course not. Or I'm forced to? No, but because we love the Lord and all of these things that we talked about this morning, putting the kingdom first and growing to maturity and helping the church function and obeying the elders and preparing myself for heaven, that's why I want to be here. Not because somebody had to bribe me. How shallow am I that I had to be bribed to be here? We can do better. And I don't believe that there's anybody here this morning that feels that way. But I know that it is something to constantly set before us. Because turn with me to John chapter 6. Do you know that Jesus, in the days of Jesus, there were people who came to hear Him because of food. And if it can happen in Jesus' day, and somebody would say, well, nobody would ever come to Jesus. I mean, He's the Almighty Son of God. They would just simply come for the right reason. No, in John chapter 6, they came just to get some more food. And if they can do it to Jesus, they can certainly do it today, when someone far less than Jesus is standing before them. And so in John chapter 6, 1 through 14, Jesus heals the 5,000. In verse 16 and following, He goes around the lake of Galilee to another place. And those people that had gotten fed, they followed Him around the lake. They wanted some more food. And in verse 26, Jesus says, "You seek Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." And then here's the lesson He gives to them. Work not. You people are following Me around the lake, working to try to get some more food. Don't work for that kind of food. Work not for the food which perisheth, but for the food which abideth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And He goes on to say that that's His teaching, His words. He Himself is the bread of life, the word of life. They came just to get some more food. But growing up, there have been brethren that have always attended just simply because they truly love God and put Him first in their lives. So as we close this morning then, I want us to consider that these are the people that we need to imitate. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul talks about following himself, and that's certainly good, following apostolic example. But you know what? He also says that there are just plain ordinary brethren, Christians, that we need to follow. Brethren, be ye imitators together of Me. There's your apostle. But, he says, mark or note them that so walk, even as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. There's a lot of people that we don't need to follow, but there are some brethren, verse 17, that walk just like the apostles do, and note them and imitate them. I want us to consider this morning why some brethren attend all the services, and let's be like them. And let's be those brethren. Let's imitate them in our lives, and let's be those very brethren for the next generation. Just simply to put God first in their life. Just simply to love the Lord. If you get out your psalm books, we're going to sing the song of encouragement. Jesus, let us come to know You. We want to offer the invitation to anyone here this morning who may need to respond. We're here as we have an opportunity to be baptized into Christ. There may be someone who needs to come back to the Lord in some way. But it's in the assembly where we can be encouraged to do that very thing. Let's be present tonight. Let's be present Wednesday night, next Sunday night, and so forth. There's no gimmick that's going to get us here. There's no dangling of some sort of bribe in front of us. But just simply because we search our hearts and we realize that that really is the way to put the Lord first. For myself, for my family, for those who are trying to go to heaven. We want to be around that throne one day. If you're not a child of God, you won't be in that throne. You'll be in another setting. You won't be around the throne. It'll be a very dark and dismal setting. You don't want that. Become a child of God. Be baptized into Christ. Be around that throne. Be with your parents. Be with your grandparents. Be with faithful brethren of all time, worshiping God around that throne. If we can encourage you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?